I'm a passionate, like my wife says, I'm a passionate person. I get emotional, but I can't fathom to think of somebody who cannot get emotional or passionate about Jesus. Maybe it's because they don't know what he's done. Maybe it's because they've forgotten what he has done and how the great price that he paid for us. So maybe there is a need for a refreshing for some of you today. I would just encourage you to say, Father, forgive me, but I want to know Jesus in a deeper way. I want to walk closer to him today. Hallelujah. Well, last week, Shannon preached a message, Live Like You're Loved. And then she was true and was saying that a lot of people, it's difficult for them to see themselves as being lovable. But when you're looking through your eyes or somebody else's eyes or by somebody else's words about you, I could see where that would be difficult to see you, to be able to see yourself as one who is loved greatly by a creator, our creator God. So I'm not sure how many of you have trouble or had trouble last week. I hope you're still not having trouble. I pray that the Holy Spirit was reminding you of that message all week long. But where you're seeing yourself, you have trouble seeing yourself as God sees you. His creation, his son or daughter that he wants you to be with him for all of eternity. And if you are ever in doubt about God's love for you, can you put up first slide? If you're ever in doubt about God's love for you, just take a few moments to look at what he did for you. If you are honest with yourself, regardless of where you've been or what you've done, this is what God did for you. We're going to go to John chapter 3, verse 16, and we're just going to read that one verse because this is what God did. It's a picture of what God did to demonstrate his love for you and for me, and it's regardless of where you come from, regardless of the color of your skin, how good you were, how bad you were. How many of you would admit, as a kid, we were all bad? Okay, yeah, we were all bad. Some of you shoot your hands up real quick. So that's good honesty right there. I appreciate that. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I thank you for your word. Let it speak to us. Let us receive your word today. Let it change us today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not sure how many times you've read that verse or heard that verse or saw it on a screen. Maybe you saw it on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Yet it does not lose its value, its power, its strength. This week, we're going to look into scripture where you and I can be, hopefully, be encouraged. Next slide. To live like you are forgiven. I am so glad I came across this picture. To live like you're forgiven. I think some people, they try to pick up those pieces of the chains on this slide. They try to put them back together because they feel, I can't be forgiven. I got to put this thing back on. Because somehow it just, there's a problem with that statement. To live like you are forgiven. One of my favorite scriptures is 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. There's some key words there. If we can put that up on the screen, Joe, 1 John 1, 9. There's some key words there. Confess. I'm not sure about you. If you're a ventriloquist, you're good, but the puppet doesn't need saving. You do. You need to confess with your mouth. It's not of a thought. How many times when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you end up responding in your thought and the action is in your thought, but it's not an action, it's just a thought. Oh, yeah, I'll take care of that later. Oh, yeah, oh, Lord, please help. You don't speak it. The words don't come out of your mouth. You just think it. We're going to talk about today how you're halfway there if you're thinking it. If the thought is just there, you're halfway there. If we confess our sins, this is something that we all have to acknowledge. I don't care how good you think you are, but we all have sin. Scripture says we've fallen short of the glory of God, but he is faithful. I like to picture that God will never say no. It's like on some of those signs when you walk to a store, some store, and it says, be back in 5 minutes, or we're sorry, we're closed. I see that his sign is always open. I see that his sign is, I'm always here. It's always open. There's no be back in 5, 10 minutes. He is faithful. To me, where it says he is faithful, it means that he'll never say no when I come to him wholeheartedly to confess my sin. He'll never say no if I come to him crying out. I'm sorry, Joe, can you go back to that picture? That's why I love this picture, because the guy in this picture is not thinking. You can tell by his reaction something has occurred on the inside. He has that universal sign of surrender. He's even on his knees. And I don't see tears, but I can only assume that there's tears flowing out of his eyes. Because Jesus forgives. Because God forgives and sets us free. So live like you're forgiven. And I know some of you are easier said than done, Pastor. I know. Like to forgive other people's, you know, we find it in Scripture. You can, you know, debate with me all you want, but I'm going to send you to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, where it says, you and I need to forgive others, because if we can't, how can we expect God to forgive us? Uh-oh. But I know it's easier said than done, and I know that it's on paper, but still, it's God's word. So no matter how many excuses you have in your back pocket, how many hall passes, you guys remember those? Hall pass, free hall pass. You get caught in the hallway of a school, you pull out that pass, you can't get in trouble. You got a free hall pass. And I don't care how many excuses you have. We all have sinned. And we all need a Savior. So we are to live like we are forgiven. And that's why I like 1 John 1:9. So it says that he's faithful and he's just. He'll never say, okay, you know, you scratch my back and then I'll scratch your back. If we confess, wholeheartedly confess our sins to God, it says that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And I mentioned this before, and I have this picture that I've fallen and I've messed up and that God picks me up. I don't deserve for him to pick me up. You don't deserve for him to pick you up. Yet because of his love, he picks you up and then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And I have this picture so vividly that he just dusts me off and says, come on, let's keep walking. Let's keep walking. To where on the inside, many of us, if we're honest, no, Jesus, I don't deserve you. No, you go ahead on. But he's standing there waiting. Would you just be quiet? Come walk with me. You've confessed your sins. Hey, I'm faithful. I'll forgive you. I'm just. I'm not going to try to trick you or cheat you, or even, you know, go, you know, move on your emotions to get you emotional to do all that you're doing. I'm not even going to do all of that. But if you come wholeheartedly to me, confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But this is hard sometimes, even for me, to fully believe, comprehend, even that picture. I love it, but to fully believe and comprehend sometimes that after I repent wholeheartedly, not just say I'm sorry. You know, some married couples, you know, you understand that term, I'm sorry. Do you really mean it? You know, yeah. But wholeheartedly, not just to say you're sorry, but after I repent, the Lord forgives. It can't be that easy, can it? I have learned that daily accounts with the Lord help me to remain tender-hearted. Helps me to have this sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that allows me to hear his voice, allows me to be led in truth by him, and allows me to know what conviction is. To know what conviction is. If you find yourself doing certain things and you don't feel conviction, danger. That is a dangerous place to be in. When you can't even feel the Holy Spirit saying, what are you doing? Like sometimes I say, knocks me upside the head. He doesn't literally, but I just use that to kind of point out that he gets my attention and says, what are you doing? But I've learned that in order for me to have a sensitive heart and ear to the Holy Spirit, it's so that I know that what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, that if there's conviction, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a change. But for some people, maybe it's some of you today, you're walking in condemnation. You're walking like you're beating yourself up over the head with a baseball bat because you are trying to bring so much pain because of what you've done to God. You may do things to other people, but let me tell you, like what King David said, I have sinned against God and God first, God and God alone. So whenever we do things that are wrong to other people, know this, you're doing it to God first. But yet that guilt and that emotional, that feeling of I am worse than dirt, that condemnation, we have to learn. And I'm learning to walk away from condemnation, not to live in it, not to set up camp in it, but to know that if I confess, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness is very difficult for people to understand, to do, to walk in. So, Pastor, why is your message called Live Like You Are Forgiven? Because regardless of how you feel, what is the truth? The truth is that God sent his son to forgive. And when it's difficult for people to understand, it's because they think they have this thought. Maybe you're like me. It's too easy. I got to do more to be forgiven. I'm not sure about you, but that's me. That's the common feeling or thought. That for me to ask God, now I feel horrible because of what I did to God, or what I was thinking while I was driving, and I have to repent. But this feeling God must hate me now. No, I'm loved because what Jesus did for me, that demonstrates God's great love for me. I got to do more though, right? I got to do more to be forgiven. You just don't know where I've been, Pastor. You just don't know what I've done. My first point, you and I don't have to do anything but repent. And like this man is doing in the picture, surrendering, acknowledging that he needs a Savior. Just weeks ago, we looked into the full payment of our sin. And I even kind of, read the lyrics to that song, Jesus paid it all. And the sad thing is that while Jesus paid it all, many of the church believers are trying to pay up a little bit more. You don't need to pay more. You can give a tip if you want to, but you don't need to pay more for your salvation. Jesus paid it all. To walk in forgiveness for ourselves or forgiveness for others, well, that is different. And I know it's hard, but you know what? It's something like this. I bought it from Dollar Tree. It says Bolts. Now, I went ahead and kind of put it together without, just an illustration, without looking at the diagram. There's no instructions. It just gives you a diagram. Shannon and I were trying to put something together for Jude a couple weeks ago, his a matchbox little thing. Racetrack. And I'm not going to go into detail. That'll be for another message during marriage enrichment, maybe, how to communicate. But we realized, or I realized, just step away because Shannon had started and she was in the middle. And I'm like, you know what? I probably would do the same thing too. But the coolest thing, though, for me was that the other day, and I didn't even tell Jude anything. Jude told me that mommy put the, because they're color-coded, but he said, mommy put the tray or the tray on wrong. This one needs to be on the bottom. This one needs to be on the top. And I was like, my boy. So, but to Shannon's defense, she would say, does it still work? I says, yes, it still works. It still works. The cars go down the slide, and so whether or not one's blue that's supposed to be on the bottom and the orange supposed to be on the top, it doesn't matter. So to her defense, it doesn't matter. And there's no parts left over, right? So anyway, the reason why I'm using this as an illustration is that some people have a problem with forgiveness because they think that assembly is required. Now this, of course, assembly is required, and I actually tried to put this together by looking at it and then just looking away, thinking, oh, I know how to put this together. You know, some of you probably know how to do that, how to fix a problem. You just look at one thing one time, and then, oh, yeah, I know how to put it together. You might be able to put it together all together with no parts left over or with parts left over, but forgiveness, it's not an assembly required. Let's go to the next slide. There's no assembly required. You don't have to do anything. You just have to stop remembering what God has forgotten. But yet we try to remember what we did or who or the kind of person that we were, and then we try to fix things when Jesus is saying, don't you remember what I did on the cross? Don't you remember what my Father did the third day later? He raised me up from the dead. I'm giving you life. I can give you life. That's one of the great things about Easter. Is that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. What kind of celebration would it be to celebrate a dead Savior? Well, he really didn't save us then if he's still dead. He paid the price for our sin by dying on the cross in our place, in your place. But God raised him from the dead so that we can have eternal life through him and be able to be with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. Would you say amen? Amen. So easier said than done about this forgiveness thing. But you know what? I don't believe anything that Jesus did was easy. I don't. What we have to do is to acknowledge that we've sinned, repent, and then receive forgiveness. We don't have to add anything. I'm not sure how many of you are picky when it comes to cooking, but if someone's cooking, like your husband or your wife's cooking or whatever, and then you go to taste it, and oh yeah, it needs some more salt. You don't need to add any more for forgiveness. Jesus already paid it all. He paid it all. Let's go to the next slide. Forgiveness isn't like this. Colossians 2:10 says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We were just singing about Jesus, that the darkness trembles and that there's no one like him. No one can be compared to our Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus and who he is. Such an amazing thing. But yet people think that there's an assembly. Sinners can't fully understand this forgiveness until the Holy Spirit reveals to them that they can't do anything to receive forgiveness, but just to receive, because Jesus paid it all. There's a story. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. There's a story. I'm just going to cover the little small part of verses 5 through 10. In this story in the Bible where Jesus meets Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. So in Luke chapter 19, I'm going to call him Zac, okay? So Zac was wanting to see Jesus, and he has heard a lot about Jesus, and he can't see him because of his stature. So he climbs up a tree, and he's able to see Jesus, and an awesome thing. Jesus notices him. I want to tell you today, Jesus notices you. He notices you. I don't care how many people came up to shake your hand today. Hopefully there was more than one. But Jesus notices you. He notices because he knows you. He knows what you're searching for. He knows what you're lacking. He knows that you have a picture of him in a photo album tucked somewhere and you forgot. And that was just a picture that the Lord gave me earlier. You forgot what he looks like. You forgot what his voice sounds like. But today is a day that God has made possible where you can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I want to find that picture and I just want to hold it. I want to put it on a lanyard, so I'll just keep it right in front of me. So if ever I forget, I'll just look at it and just, oh yeah, and begin to talk to you. So Jesus notices him. And in Luke 19:5, it says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, saw Zacchaeus. He says, Zac, make haste, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be with a guest, with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. If the story was over there, one can come to this conclusion that Zacchaeus was moved by emotion and he gave stuff away. How many of you have ever experienced that? But because of emotion, you gave something away, you were nice to people, you did something out of emotion. But we find out what Jesus says as he adds to the story, that there was more than just an outward thing that happened. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus noticed him, but Jesus notices us and he knows us intimately and personally. So there was a change in his heart, in Zacchaeus' heart. And the outward change, the demonstration of what has happened on the inside, saw something on the outside. That's why baptism is important. Now, I know that sometimes maybe, I'm not saying any of y'all, but maybe people get baptized because they just want to get dunked and just get in the water. Okay, I'm not sure how many of you have seen those videos where one guy's about to baptize this little kid, and the little kid just jumps off the stair and he jumps right into the water. I mean, you know, of course, the kid was getting baptized, and hopefully by now he understands baptism is not just about getting water, but it's a public display of what God has done, that you come up out of the water a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, yet behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But here, Zacchaeus, something happens on the inside that he does something on the outside. I wonder, God, what else was discussed in this dinner meeting at Zacchaeus' house? It had to have been something so deep, so personal, so cutting to Zacchaeus' heart that he realized, I have cheated people out. You know what, Jesus? I'm going to give them even more than what I cheated them. There was a change, and it had to have happened on the inside. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said salvation came to this house. Jesus don't give salvation just to anybody. How many of you ever received one of those junk mails at, you know, scratch it for a car dealership? Scratch, and if you win, you can come get some free, you know. Let me tell you, that's just a gimmick. That's just an advertisement to get you to come to the dealership to see all the shiny cars to get you to buy something. Jesus didn't do any of that. He didn't just frivolously just give salvation away. It was to those who confessed that Jesus is Lord and believed in their heart that God raised them to faith. And then someone would say, well, Jesus hadn't died yet. But it was for those that believed in God and accepted the words that Jesus was saying. So again, what could have been the words that Jesus shared? So that's just a question I threw up to the Lord. But what did Jesus say to you? What did he say to you that cut to your heart, that caused you to see you need a Savior? And then hopefully there was an outward reaction that you surrendered your life. You confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then from that moment on, your life, hopefully, it should have changed. It is evident that a life was changed. He made restitution for all the cheating he had done. Something had happened to his heart. Something needs to happen to our hearts in order for there to be an outward response. Let's go to the next slide. My last point is spiritual decisions are made on both sides, on the inside and on the outside. Holy Spirit reveals to us God's truth. That's why we're convicted. You're going the wrong way, Holy Spirit will convict you. You say the wrong thing, Holy Spirit will convict you. You see, you speak, you think the wrong things, Holy Spirit will convict you. That's why it's important that we have daily accounts with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, that our hearts remain sensitive, our ears sensitive to what the Spirit is saying, so that if there is conviction, we change. But again, it's not just inside. There has to be a change on the outside. It happens on the inside and it's supposed to happen on the outside. Then it's expected to impact the rest of our lives. There must be a change in us and from us and through us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. This was one of our reading, our Bible reading passages last week. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." And from that passage, the Lord was saying, man, people are living a life like they're not forgiven. Believers having a hard time adjusting to the fact and living like they're forgiven. Well, if they're not forgiven, then who are they even? Then who are they really? And it brought to me that the people, as Paul was speaking to the people of Corinth, people were believing in God, but they just weren't believing in the resurrection. How can you believe and follow what God is saying, but not believe in the resurrection, that he is the way, the truth, and the life? How can we today believe that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but yet we are finding difficulty walking and living in forgiveness? Why are we beating ourselves over the head because of what we've done? Why? Probably because we're thinking, we're having this fleshly thought. Our flesh is in the way. It's too easy. I got to do something else to pay for this forgiveness. No, Jesus already paid for it. So there's something that we have to work on. We have to train our mindset. We have to train our mindset that if that's what God says, then we have to apply our life and our thoughts to what he said. I heard Bill Wilson say that Jesus gave instructions to go heal the sick, not pray for the sick. He says, of course, we pray, we talk to the Father, but he says, heal the sick. And I was like, whoa, I had one of those moments. So as I pray and talk to the God, the Father, I always do this. If there's anyone that needs prayer for wisdom, for healing, for just, you know, I just need prayer because I just need prayer. I stand on God, on what God said about your situation, and I stand on what God says. And I pray what God's word says. Forget about what Rick has to say. What does God say about your situation? And I stand on that, and I pray, hopefully, that you're listening so that you can continue to stand on that word and walk home standing on that word, thanking God for that healing, thanking God for that wisdom, thanking God for that instruction. That's how I do it, because it's what God's word says. So if today you're living and it's difficult to walk in forgiveness, you're listening to the wrong things, or you might need to be training your minds to what God says instead of what your feelings say, instead of what you think you need to add. Remember, God's forgiveness is no assembly required. You don't have to add to it. You just have to receive it and walk in it. Again, acknowledge, repent, receive, and walk in it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to ask you how many of you have memorized this verse. Go ahead and put it up there, Joe. Romans chapter 1. I like these. There's some key words here. There is therefore now no. I don't know about you, but there is a strong statement about to come. There is therefore now no. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. It's telling me there's not a shred of doubt. There's not just a little bit of condemnation that you can have and walk with. No, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's conviction that believers need to be listening to. And if you're experiencing that, then you repent and change. But we are not. No, there is therefore now no condemnation. So if you ever go to the fridge and there's no milk but just the jug, you could say, there is now, therefore, now no milk in this refrigerator. I need to go buy some. This is what I believe that God is speaking to us in every believer. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Memorize that. Hold on to that. Train yourself to memorize this verse. Shout it out to yourself. Look in the mirror and speak to yourself when you feel like you're walking in condemnation, like you have to get a crowbar to hit yourself because of what you said, what you thought, what you did. Don't walk in that. You're not supposed to. There is therefore now no condemnation. This is God's word, and it should override your feelings. It should override your emotions. It should override your thoughts. Today, forgiveness is available for all. For whosoever, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, for whosoever would believe, to all the sinners that are here in this room or those that are watching online, a price was paid too great that you and I could never pay. Jesus, the Son of God, died on that cross to pay that, to make that payment. God desires to have fellowship with you for all of eternity. This is why he resurrected Jesus from the grave. And now he gives us eternal life. As Holy Spirit has spoken and convicted you on the inside, let there be a change on the outside. Whether you come to the altar, and I know sometimes people don't like to come to the altar. You want to know why? Because everybody's looking at you. So what if everybody's looking at you? It's between you and God anyway. It shouldn't matter if everybody's looking at you. Well, you don't know me, Pastor. I'm just kind of shy and timid. Well, how great of a need do you need more of God? And I'm not saying coming to the altar is magical. God has nothing to do with magic. Nothing. But it's a response of what the Holy Spirit has spoken. So that's why I say, come to the altar. If you don't want to come to the altar, make an altar at your seat. Get up, turn around, make an altar, kneel by your seat. Do something physical of what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you on the inside. Because I pray that there's a change on the inside so that there can be a change on the outside. You cannot tell me that if there's a change on the inside and there's no change on the outside, that you walk out different. No, you walk out the same. You're halfway there. Now, if there's no change on the inside and there's a change on the outside, that's not going to last very long. And I know this. The Holy Spirit has spoken, and I thought it in my head, and I didn't respond with prayer. I didn't respond with seeking the Lord or whatever. And by the time I got to my car and got home, I forgot what did the Holy Spirit say? Anybody want to be honest and say that's happened to you? There's got to be a change on the outside. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. Father, we just come to you and we thank you for what you've already been speaking, already been revealing to those who don't know Jesus, already been revealing to them that they need a Savior. A price too great was paid for their sin, and now they realize that they have become sin, that they are sinners, and they have fallen short of God's glory. They cannot have fellowship with God. But today, Jesus notices them. I thank you, God, for that. And Lord, I pray for every believer in this room that has you far away, tucked away somewhere in a photo album or has forgotten who you are, forgotten your voice. I pray, Father, that they'll be honest with themselves and honest with you and say, Father, forgive me. I've forgotten what your voice sounds like. I've forgotten about the power of the name of Jesus. God, forgive me for not walking in forgiveness, but thinking I can add to what you've already done, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come to you today. Today is the day of salvation, the day that you have made possible. We can get things right. We don't make things right, Jesus. You already made things right. All we need to do is get right. We thank you, Father, for your word.